All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started. It's noon, so we're going to do the November Shared Library Services Platform update, and you'll hear me and several other people talking through issues that we've been working on over the last month. So I'll just go ahead and get started. I'll be monitoring chat, so feel free to type in the chat if you have any questions, or feel free to unmute yourself. You'll have the ability to do that if you want to ask a question. All right. So I just wanted to give a support update. One of the things that the Shared Library Services staff are doing is working to manage as much as we can the support relationship with Ex Libris. One of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about, so we had our last support manager meeting on the 20th, and I'll release the notes from that sometime today. So we discussed a variety of issues with Ex Libris, and often we, you know, are typically going through 15 or 20 cases that we want to see or have some sort of a more in-depth discussion. And persistently, we've been bringing up response times or responsiveness, communication issues, which we will continue to do in working with Ex Libris. But if you, as the campus representative, if you can help us to bring this to Ex Libris's attention, that would be very helpful. I'm going to show you how to do that in just a second. The other thing as well is that we have brought up a lot of issues with cases, and one of the questions we get asked a fair amount is, you know, that we should suggest that these cases get escalated. So please don't hesitate to escalate your case or to provide feedback to help us to establish patterns of problems. We'll be doing that by going through all of the aggregate Salesforce cases, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I'll talk a little bit about Primo V issues after I talk about how to do the other things with just Salesforce cases as well. So some of the trends and concerns, comments that we're bringing up from the last month, we were seeing lots of linking issues. So things like linking not working or parser parameters not being correct, that these are taking a long time to be resolved. And the response generally that we got back was to escalate this to content operations. So that's where the escalation can help. We've been escalating these four campuses in an aggregate, but if you are unhappy with the responsiveness with linking, escalate it, because we need to put as much pressure collectively and individually for fast resolution and as much attention as we can on our issues that are causing problems directly with our users and their ability to get access to content that we're, you know, paying money for. So on the flip side, there are lots of cases that are sitting, waiting a customer response. So if you can, just put it in your normal workflow as you're looking at your Salesforce cases to try to close those if the issue has been resolved, because it's hard for us to see which ones there might be, you know, a little bit more interaction that's required because something might be set to pending customer response and there might be an intervention that's needed. So if something is truly resolved and it's been set to pending customer response, please do just go ahead and close it. It makes it much easier for us to see the problems through the massive number of cases that are open. We're also seeing a lot of cases where the question is very general and, you know, not really focused on what you're trying to achieve through the case. So as you submit a Salesforce case, think about focusing it as much as you possibly can and what your end goal is from submitting that case. And often what we're seeing with Salesforce cases that are stale, problematic, is that it's really unclear what is being asked in the case. So it's harder for the Ex Libris support people to provide you with the services if it's unclear what you're trying to do. So I know that's sometimes hard. So, you know, just try to keep that in the back of your mind. And going back to responsiveness and helping us with putting in feedback or escalation, one of the areas that we've consistently brought up and addressed with Ex Libris is that the time to response and, you know, beyond just a, we received your case, an actual meaningful response for tier one is an area that we're looking for improvement. So it doesn't mean that we're expecting that they fix everything in 2 days, but we would at least like to see some sort of a meaningful response so that, you know, cases don't go into a tier one black hole. So another thing that we're seeing as we look through big groups of Salesforce cases is that some things that we would see as a high priority, they're being put in with a low priority or, you know, not an appropriate priority level. And that is something that Ex Libris takes very seriously. So if something is having a large impact on your workflows or it's affecting usability or the user's ability to get to content, put a high priority on it. And if something is truly down, put a system down, and then that triggers different response times, et cetera. So really think as hard as you can about the priority. Obviously, not everything is high priority, but you know, if something is preventing you from doing your work, that's a high priority, at least in my eyes. And this is an area that I just want to be upfront that I'm not sure that we have the magic solution on this. This is an issue that all consortia who have used Alma for any length of time, that this is an issue, is that we're already starting to see dozens of cases that are sitting in pending release and pending development. And we will continue to talk about this, but know that this will be an issue that we're going to continue to struggle with, and prioritization with this as well. So some of the general trends. Any questions thus far? So one of the things that I would ask that you start doing is just a matter of practice, is if you submit something and you're not getting a response in a couple of days and it's sitting in tier one, or if somebody gives you a, you know, kind of an automated response of, hi, I'm John Doe, I'll be taking care of your case. A reminder that cases are, you know, dealt with in the order that they're submitted, something like that. Just kind of a general auto response. And multiple days have gone by, multiple business days, and you don't get any communication back. Put feedback in, and you can see the feedback blue button on the case that says, I would like better update frequency in my case. So that helps us to say to Ex Libris, you know, we are seeing lots of feedback in cases that the update frequency is, you know, not what people would like to see. And then what this also does is it triggers the manager of that specific case, you know, the consultants who's on that case, that they get a notification that there has been feedback and that they need to look at that case. So it helps escalate, and then it also helps to give us some more tools to talk to Ex Libris as well. So we're looking at resolution times, responsiveness, but we don't have the type of tools to do the granular searching and reporting that we would need to identify every single case where there is a slower than expected time for a response on a case. And we've not seen a lot of the in-case feedback. All the in-case feedback has been submitted by us as we're going through and looking. But if you can help us with that, that would be something that we would really appreciate. And I think you'll see at least some better communication from your case by doing that. And then if there's something where you're really not getting any sort of traction and it's something that's having a large impact on your workflows, on your ability to get your work done, if it's something that is not a response level time, you just want to point them back to how much time they said that they would, if there's something that's inoperable, point it back to, the service level agreement that they have that's widely available via the web. All right, any questions on support? And before I move on, I wanted to talk a little bit about Primo V and our discussions with the Primo V product manager. So we regularly meet with the Primo VE product manager, Israel Kuchar, and then also with the vice president for discovery solutions, Guy Ben-Parat. So I put out to the institutional leads data for the last month, and then also a second spreadsheet of data since a November 18th, 19th release, which increased the responsiveness of Primo V significantly. So we have asked to get weekly reports of Primo V speed over the next month so that we can see that, you know, that the effect is longer lasting and that it's stabilizing. So it's not quite for every single campus that it's 2.5 seconds for 50% of searches and 4.5 seconds for 95% of the searches. But it is, you know, in an aggregate getting very close to those. And what we just discussed at our last meeting that we had with Ex Libris this morning was that we would continue to release that data. And then if any campus is unhappy with their Primo V response times, so the speed that Primo V results are showing, that you can contact me and then we'll start to dig into your individual instance of Primo V to see what improvements we can try to make in the short term. I'll post this to the institutional leads, but I just wanted to put that out there of, you know, there have been significant improvements. We're trying to make sure that those significant improvements continue, and we're still talking with Ex Libris, and they've also said that every single Primo V release that we should see not the same two seconds improvement that we saw from the November, mid-November release, but we should start to see continued incremental improvements. They're not quite ready to share with us open URL resolution time metrics, but they will in the very near future. They're making improvements on in many of those areas as far as how quickly things show up when you're going into services through open URL resolution workflow. And we'll share out that information when we have it. Any questions on the Primo V end? Short story on that is big improvements, but if you still have issues with Primo V resolution or Primo V speed, let us know and we can start to connect with directly with the product manager who will look at your individual institution. All right, so shifting gears a little bit. Later this week, I'll be putting out a web page where the SUNY Library Shared Services, where we will put out all the initiatives that we're working on or we plan to begin working on in the near future. We're going to break it down so that it's quarterly, so that you have a sense of when things are coming, so that we're, you know, providing you one place to look at major initiatives that are coming up or that are currently happening. So we'll continue to do the communication that we're already doing, through the SLC channels into the working groups, and you know, especially if an initiative requires a task force or involvement from the working group, we'll communicate that way. We'll also communicate via the monthly updates, but this just, I think, will give you the ability from an administrative, a planning, and then also just a general awareness standpoint of what's coming up, what's happening, and just our general plans. So that'll be something that for any initiative that you as a campus would like to see working, us working on, we would ask that you just put that to the appropriate SLC working group, just so the channels are kind of working through, you know, what's actually relevant for all of SUNY to be working on, so that we're not bouncing it between the working groups from if you send it to us, so that, you know, that the communication happens through the SLC channels, and then what the SUNY Library Shared Services, what we're taking on, that there's something that's easily accessible that everybody can look at. And we have updated the institutional leads, and then we've added two additional pages for other campus contacts. So a contact for resource sharing, and then a cataloging contact as well. And the SUNY Library Shared Services staff, if there's something that's resource sharing related, we'll reach out to the resource sharing contact. If there's something that's cataloging, we'll reach out to the cataloging contact, just to make it easier on everyone. And you know, obviously some campuses, the same person is the contact for every single area, just because we, you know, it's a small staff. So we'll use whoever is listed in that campus contact area from the institutional lead or cataloging or resource sharing standpoint. A quick update on SIS integration. So we've had some discussions with CECAS about upcoming improvements, things like including preferred names, looking at preferred addresses, and how do we manage those, because that has been causing some problems with printing and some other, you know, some other things with communication as well. And then we've asked them to look at improvements on required fields, or forcing errors if a field that is important, such as email address, is missing from the entire file. And our last communication with CECAS is that they're going to form a focus group to review SORIOM, and then look at testing and development of the new features. And we sent them suggested campuses and contacts for, you know, campuses where there was a good IT person and somebody from the library to give them input on areas that they should continue to develop. So we don't have any firm date on that, but know that that's in the works. And whenever we have more timelines or information, we'll share that with you. And Gail and myself will be working with CECAS and the focus group just to kind of make sure that everybody's connecting up with the ALMA side of things as well. And, you know, I consider this a major success. Gail has done a lot of work on this to get us to the point where only two campuses have not run SIS integration at least one time. And many of you have run it many times. So, you know, this is a major, major accomplishment. And, you know, hopefully, if we can get any data out of the last two campuses, we could have everybody running SIS integration. We've had Bill Jones create a variety of custom applications to get people so that they can run the SIS synchronization, even if they don't have Banner, et cetera. So just one positive, and something that, you know, we, as we've said multiple times, we will continue, and by we, I mean the SUNY Library Shared Services, will continue to support you on SIS integration. You can come directly to us for 6 months after go live. So we'll help you get started into the next semester And then at that point, we will ask that you start doing your SIS integration work and synchronization on your own. Gail and I have a variety of appointments that you can schedule on the SLC LibCal. We've reached out to those who we know haven't done SIS integration much. But you know, after we're into the spring semester, we'll start asking you to do this yourself if you don't have an extended contract with us. I'll turn it over to Michelle, who's been most into the thick of it with CDI, to give you an update on CDI.
Hey, everybody. A little bit of information about the CDI and how that's going. The task force has begun testing. We're now in week two of our testing. And the things we're looking at are the MOVE report, and that's the report that shows all of your collections that were copied over from the PCI to the CDI. This week, we're starting to play around with activating collections in Alma. And then starting next week, we're going to be doing a lot of testing comparing PCI search results with CDI search results. Again, the two systems are living next to each other until go live, so we can do comparison searching, which is really great. We have a special base camp set up with Ex Libris, which is allowing us to communicate with them throughout this process. And then at the end of the test period, we will report on our findings in the SUNY HQ base camp. We're also hoping to prepare best practices documentation, and we will do some training to help you get a better handle on what CDI is, how to manage it in Alma. So you can go ahead, Shannon. December Alma Primo highlights, the release notes links are here on this slide. Not as many things this month as last month. There is a new merge patron option in Alma. It's a little complicated to get it to work, but you do now have that option. In Primo, there are now pending approval codes, meaning that in the My Library account area in Primo, you'll get a better tracking of where things are in terms of renewal. Your patrons will be able to see if it's been approved yet, if it's pending approval, those kinds of things. And with your virtual browse on your Primo full records, you can choose to include electronic material, such as eBooks. It's not automatically activated, but that is something that you can look into doing. Go ahead. Reminder, Cafe Alma is still going strong. We're starting discovery in December. We will not have a meeting this Thursday because everybody will be at Thanksgiving, hopefully. So you can see the list of topics we'll be covering for discovery. We do have MCs for these sessions, so that's great. We really appreciate everybody's participation in this series. And then there's the Cafe Alma online link if you would like to sign up to present anything or join the sessions. Go ahead. We're looking at statistics, and we wanted to do a little coverage of what's happened in the 5 months since go live. So you can see the kinds of things that are happening. These are all stats that are coming from LibAnswers. Probably the most impressive thing is there have been 19,000 FAQ views. So that's great to see that the hard work we've put into creating FAQs is paying off. I do know that people even from outside of SUNY are looking at our FAQs, and they do come up pretty high in the list when you do a Google search for various Alma and Primo topics. So that's great. The top search terms in the LibAnswers have been resource sharing and Iliad, and that's a testament to the great FAQs that Tim has put together. Just some general information about the busiest search day tends to be Wednesday. And when I say search, what I mean is searching of the repository for the FAQs. And then 211 LibAnswers tickets answered. So that's great too. Those do take a lot of time to work through. So that's quite a bit of work that's been done there. And 110 FAQs have been added in the past 5 months. So thanks everybody for contributing and for using the LibAnswers. And I'm all done, Shannon, thanks.
All right, we'll turn it over to Tim for a resource sharing update.
All right, thank you, Shannon. And if you could move the slide forward, please. All right, hi everyone. I just want to start out by giving you a sneak peek of November's resource sharing request volumes. And please keep in mind that this data, I generated it on Friday, so it's only current up through Thursday the 21st. So it's not quite an entire month, but it is, you know, a pretty significant chunk of November. And On the borrowing side of things, you can see that the University at Buffalo is still our biggest borrower by a wide margin, followed up by Geneseo, Binghamton, Albany, and Purchase. On the lending side, we're seeing a better distribution of requests. Albany is our biggest lender, followed up by Binghamton, and then Buffalo, Brockport, and New Paltz. Shannon, if you could move forward, please. So like I said, we're still seeing more borrowing activity at Buffalo than we are anywhere else. And again, the reason behind that is Buffalo is one of the few SUNY institutions that has decided to include the SUNY catalog in their everything search. So when their users land in Primo and just do a generic search without changing the search scope, that search will include items held by other SUNY institutions. So Buffalo's users are seeing those records and they're requesting them. Now, as you saw, Buffalo is our biggest borrower. They're not our biggest lender. I am actively trying to increase their lending volume for two reasons, mainly because if they're going to be the biggest borrower, it's only fair that they're also the biggest lender. And also by pushing more lending requests to Buffalo, I'm taking some of the pressure off places like Albany and Binghamton. And I'm doing this by customized ROTA management. I've started at SUNY Geneseo. So I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank them for allowing me to edit their ROTAs. So all of their requests, if they are for items held by Buffalo, will always go to Buffalo first. And I've seen some success so far. Buffalo's lending volume has increased some. I'm not seeing any evidence of what I've done impacting turnaround times at Geneseo, which is good. So I'm going to leave things as they are for the rest of this semester. But granted, I don't notice any problems at Geneseo. I will be reaching out to some other libraries over the winter break to talk about the possibility of pushing more of their borrowing requests to Buffalo. So if you could move on to the next slide. Thanks. I also wanted to show you some turnaround time and fill rate statistics. On the fill rate side of things, the numbers continue to improve. We've seen almost a 10% increase since August. So we're up almost to a 60% fill rate for resource sharing requests within the network zone. That number is still lower than we would like it to be. So we are working on that. I will be talking about that in just a second. On the turnaround side of things, I'm very pleased by what I'm seeing. As you can see, back in August, the average turnaround time was for a resource sharing request was 4.7 days. So far this month, we've got that down to 3.9 days. So that's really fantastic. And keep in mind what that 3.9 days represents is the amount of time that passes between the user submitting a request and the user being notified that the item they requested is available for pickup. It includes weekends, it includes holidays. So it's basically just raw turnaround time from the user's perspective. So for physical materials, I would say a 3.9 day turnaround time is really, really good. I'm really pleased with that. So I just want to take a brief moment to thank everyone who's been processing lending requests throughout the SUNY system for staying on top of things and getting requested materials out the door in a quick manner. And Shannon, if you could move on to the next slide. Thanks. So like I said, the turnaround times are getting better. The fill rates are improving. I think the most recent fill rate improvement is mostly the result of work we've done to divert article requests from Alma to Iliad. Because we were seeing some article requests being submitted through Alma, and those were just pretty much automatically failing and being exported to Iliad. So we've done some work to make sure that those requests are being sent straight to Iliad. So they're not even going through Alma's resource sharing process. And what we did there is for libraries who hadn't already set up an Iliad GES, so users could submit requests directly to Iliad from Primo for articles, we went ahead and did that for you. And I just want to take a brief moment to thank Christy Lee. She's not on this call right now, she's on vacation, but she did a lot of that work before she left. So I just wanted to say thank you to Christy.
No, Christy's here. She's back.
Oh, welcome back, Christy. I'm sorry. And I also just wanted to let everyone know that Michelle and I will be conducting a session on Iliad GESs and display logic on December 11th. We'll be talking more about how to handle article requests and divert article requests from Alma to Iliad. So please keep an eye out for more information on that. And lastly, I just wanted to let you all know that we're still working with Ex Libris on potential issues with the locate process, because I am still seeing some requests where lenders are not being identified where I believe they should be. So we do have an active case on that, and we're continuing to work with Ex Libris. So hopefully working through that will help get us, as far as our fill rate goes, help get us up above 60%. And Shannon, if you could push on to the next slide. Great, thank you. Just a handful of other resource sharing related things I wanted to point out. So the printouts queue function, when it was initially rolled out back in October, it was only available to users with an administrator role. And I know that some libraries that may have adopted this for their resource sharing printing chose not to because of that. I just want to let everyone know that that function is now available to all user roles. It's not limited to the administrator roles. So if it's something you were thinking about using but didn't because of that limitation, you can go ahead and start using it now, because all of your staff should be able to use the printout queues. And just a reminder of what that is, the printout queues are essentially a list of all of the letters that you have printed at your library. And staff can use the queue to print directly from the web browser as opposed to going through an email. So if you're still having issues with email printing or would just prefer not to be printing via email, I would encourage you to take a look at the printouts queue. And I do have an FAQ on that. Also, I wanted to let everyone know that back in August, I believe it was, Ex Libris rolled out a conditionals feature for resource sharing requests. Unfortunately, there was a problem with that feature. Specifically, if a lender sent a conditional to a borrower and the borrower said no, the lending request would be canceled, which is what we would want. Unfortunately, the requested item would remain on the pick from shelf list. So you would end up with this item on your pick from shelf list with no active request attached to it. I just wanted to let you all know, because of that issue, we did not push for anyone to start using this. We didn't include it in anyone's workflow profiles, but that issue has been resolved. So documentation on how to use this and the changes to the workflow profiles that will allow you to use this will be coming soon. So please keep an eye out for more information about that on Basecamp. Also, something else I wanted to point out, I am seeing some evidence that there are certain resource sharing request statuses that people aren't always monitoring on a daily basis, and those are resulting in some expired requests, particularly requests with locate failures. I'm also seeing some renewal requests piling up in queues. So I just wanted to let everyone know that I will be conducting training sessions on the more advanced resource sharing workflows, including things like locate failures and renewal requests in December. In fact, the lending session is going to be on Friday, December 6th at 1 p.m. And the borrowing session will be the following Friday, December 13th, also at 1 p.m. So I would strongly encourage everyone who does resource sharing work to attend those sessions, because I'm hoping they will help tighten up things and, you know, help drive down our turnaround times a little more. And Shannon, if you could go on to the next slide. And one last thing I just wanted to remind everyone. November's ALMA release contained a new method for exporting resource sharing requests that couldn't be filled in ALMA to ILLiad. It uses an API instead of ILLiad's email import feature. And I'm sure anyone who's been using ILLiad's email import feature is familiar with the limitations of that feature and the issues with that feature. So I just wanted to take a brief minute to remind everyone that this new API-based export method is available. I've included links on how to configure it and how it works. There are links here to the FAQs I created. And I also wanted to let everyone know that this new export feature has opened up some opportunities for tightening up ALMA ILLiad borrowing integration. So Bill Jones and I have been doing some work on the borrowing NSIP add-on. We will continue to do some work once Bill is back from his trip to Italy. And so please keep an eye out for that, because I'm hoping what this new add-on will be able to do is when a request gets exported and then received in ILLiad, currently the add-on creates a new request in ALMA instead of updating the original request. What Bill and I are working on is getting the add-on to update the original request instead of creating that second new request, which should be helpful to both library staff and library users. And we're making good progress. We're not totally where we need to be, but we are working on it, and more information on all of that will be forthcoming soon. So that's everything I wanted to talk about. Any questions from anyone? All right, thank you very much.
All right, I'll turn it over to Maggie then.
Thanks, Shannon. If you can move forward, please. Thanks. Hi, so hi everyone. I just want to let you know some of the network maintenance that's going on. I know last month I said I was going to start purging GhostBib records in the network zone, but just some campuses' concerns and even the questions last time led me to believe that I'm going to give you a little more time, probably another semester, if not longer, depending on how long it takes campuses to start linking their IZ records to network zone. I know some campuses have been working very hard, and hopefully this takes some pressure off that you don't feel that you need to be done quickly. So just please, if you are working on this, please keep working on this. If you haven't started working on linking your IZ records to network zone, please start looking at this and working on this so that we can start to clean up the network zone so these records are no longer in the repository if they indeed do not have any campus holdings. Another issue in the network zone are e-resources that most of them have migrated in, but some have also been imported in from OCLC nightly jobs or from OCLC exports directly into the network zone from campuses. So I've been working on cleaning up e-resources that have gotten in since migration that have no campus holdings. Some may have campus holdings from that period after migration because they were inadvertently ordered from the network zone. So just be careful that your campuses are not placing orders on e-resources from the network zone, because it creates other issues where instead of getting a CZ icon, it gets a network zone icon and you can't activate it the way you would if you had added it to your IZ as an electronic resource or activated it from the CZ. And when I was mentioning before that some records were still coming in through the OCLC nightly jobs, that's for new records, updated and merged records. I updated the filter and refined it. So now it is also going to remove any bib records coming in that have a position of 23 in the 008 of Q, which is a direct electronic, and or if they have a 337 subfield A that says computer. This should help eliminate any of these residual e-resources that have been coming in through the nightly jobs. You can move forward, Shannon. Another aspect of the network zone is this, API orders. So we have this API-based ordering task force that began this month. The members are Marla Gruner, Kate Jones, myself, Jason Parker, Noah Roth, and Marion Stern. We commenced on 11/4, and we are meeting every other week. And our charge is to evaluate how the API-based ordering within the SUNY network environment will impact things to create policies and best practices. So far, we're working on, you know, we looked at the charge. We're looking at evaluating how the resources or API orders are coming in. Currently, some of these some of the members have their APIs going to their IZ. So we're just evaluating, and they're looking at their ordering and how many things are they do order directly through vendors and how this would improve the process and how best to handle things. So we're looking at this seriously and seeing what the impact of API-based ordering in the network zone will be for everybody and what the recommendations and policies are that will surround this as a result of our findings. I put a link here to the LibGuide for the task force, so you can see the agendas, the meeting minutes, and when we do develop best practices and policies, they will also be there. I've been working, so I had posted in Basecamp in October about OCLC new FTP server, and the new FTP server really we're supposed to move over to December 31st of this year, and I have put a link here on the documentation about the file exchange, the new servers. So if you are using OCLC for anything besides, you know, publishing profiles, please look at this documentation because you may need to make some changes to your FTP servers. But primarily in Alma, this is impacting publishing profiles. And when I was testing this after getting the information from Maureen, that it was failing. So I reached out to OCLC first because I thought it was a problem on OCLC side. And they do not have any problems on their side, so I went to Ex Libris. And what has been discovered over this time is that Alma is not allowing the absolute path to be used, and as a result, it is not sending the publishing profiles to the correct directory at OCLC. So it's a big problem. Both Ex Libris and OCLC are aware. Even in the documentation for the link that I put up there, there is a known issue about Ex Libris now as a result of these developments. And so Shannon is also involved in this, escalating the case, because we met with, this week we met twice, because we met about the cases on the, last week, sorry, we met about the case on cases and other issues on the 20th, and at the end of the week, I met with OCLC and Ex Libris to see if we could escalate this and move this forward so we can meet this OCLC deadline. So just to give you a little timeline, the case was opened on October 4th, and then I met with Ex Libris and OCLC on the 22nd, and the case was also escalated on the 22nd. And as of this morning, we received an update to our Salesforce case that after Ex Libris has evaluated this, that they can't promise any, the soonest the change can take place is early February. So they are now in communication with OCLC because they have to coordinate with OCLC, and OCLC will then have to communicate with us about how to best handle this. They did express, OCLC did express that they could possibly extend the deadline. And at this point, it looks like that's what they're going to have to do, but I have no I have not heard back. So I want to just keep you up about what's going on with these changes with the new FTP server. So if for some reason, so for now, don't make any changes in Alma to your publishing profiles regarding this at all. And for the 30 campuses that we set up publishing profiles, I will be responsible for making these changes. So for the time being, this is at a standstill, but we are working to try to get this to move forward more quickly. So there's a resolution and we'll keep you updated. I know that Michelle mentioned some release notes, but I just wanted to focus on a few about resource management. So November, I had posted into Basecamp about the institution zone and network zone now being included in the search resources in the search profile for the MD editor. So the Basecamp link will give you information on how to, you know, how to set it up if you would like to be able to search in the network zone there, which is, it's a nice feature. It wasn't there before. And then December, I just wanted to let you know there's a few things that are just a few highlights. There's a lot of things being corrected in the December update for resource management. So look at the December upcoming release notes, because I didn't notice any that were in anybody's cases, but maybe there is something that is potentially affecting your campus and you just want to be up to date that these changes are occurring. So something that kind of crosses the realm between fulfillment and resource management is that FITEM, loan statistics. So before you would do a physical repository, you'd have to do a physical item repository search to be able to see loan statistics. So what's really cool now is you don't have to worry about that. If you do a physical title repository search, you can now see loan statistics. So it's really a nice enhancement, because we all forget, or you think it's not working or something happened if you're in the wrong search. Now it doesn't matter if you do a physical title or a physical item search, you'll be able to see the loan statistics. Okay, so I'm going to go, whoops, you can go back, Shannon, sorry. I jumped to the bottom, I didn't mean to. So the physical item export, I just wanted to let you know about December, it's going to include the OCLC number. Before it did not. So it's nice because it will now allow you to see the OCLC number. There is the semi-annual reindexing is coming up. They do this reindexing in Alma, so it improves search mechanisms. So this will impact, you know, searching in Alma. So December is slated for their semi-annual reindexing. So that's an important piece of information. You can look at, see what kind of things that are included. A local call number duplication check was also added, which is nice. Doesn't really impact too much of us, but it may impact some of this. So it's nice that you can look at the local call number to see if there's any duplication. And the MD import, the ISBN match found between subfield Z, imported records with O20 of subfield A, existing records, with the ISSN. So now the matches are only found between the same subfields. Before, they were not being able to match on these different subfields. So now it will be able to do that. It will be able to find matches when you do a search on the exact same subfields instead of just being able to match on one. So that's an improvement. Does anybody have any questions before we move forward to training? Thank you.
All right, thanks. Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, go ahead and move forward. Hi everyone, this is Jennifer Korber. I just have a few quick updates on training that we've been doing. And recent trainings, we've gotten off to a good start with both our online trainings and one in-person set of trainings. So we've done a few webinars on resource sharing and on resource management, but also we did a two days worth, one in Middletown and one in Syracuse, of full-day sessions on analytics basics. So we had, between the two sites, we had 40 participants, more than 40 participants, and 8 presenters. And we took everyone from the absolute beginnings of when and whether to use analytics versus ALMA to get information and data out, to creating new analyses and finding and copying and editing shared reports, and then more on going through different features of analytics by using functional area examples of reports as ways to explore the interface. We are going to then be taking all of that information that we got from providing those trainings, and we will be turning it into additional online trainings moving forward. So I just wanted to let everybody know that that's coming. So we didn't do a ton of training in November because there was a lot of other stuff going on for SLSS, but there is a lot more to come. Go ahead, Shannon. As this slide indicates, we have a ton of trainings happening in the next 3 weeks. After Thanksgiving in the first beginning of December, in basically every area that's available to us. So as you can see, advanced search for analytics, again, taking that very beginning of the analytics training process and starting that. Ebook activation, ordering ebooks, resource sharing, a few different topics, making OER content discoverable with Primo, merging brief records, and at the end of the 19th and 20th in December, and then again in January 6th and 8th, there will be a number of SIS load working sessions. And so as Shannon mentioned earlier, that's something that Shared Services is continuing to work with campuses on, and there will be these online working sessions for folks to work together on them. And Lauren, I'm about to do that. Give me 1 second. Go ahead, training. Go ahead, Shannon. So you can, looking ahead. First of all, go ahead and bookmark the training calendar. This is a LibCal calendar, and it is now chock full of most of the sessions that you saw in that previous list. There's a couple more that are still in the process of being added. We're just waiting for a little bit of information to come. In addition, there is also another few sessions that are coming up that we have not firmed up the scheduling for, including 2 more analytics trainings. We may get a third in there, but definitely these two are going to happen at some point in December, with more coming in January. And then at some point in either December or January, there will be more on sharing request lists and looking at active notes. And along the same lines as the initiatives page that Shannon mentioned at the beginning of this update, we have been working on, the Shared Library Services training team, have been working on both a 6-month training plan, November through April, and we've also been working on putting together curriculum maps. So these are taking apart the different functional areas in ALMA and really getting a sense of what trainings would a person new to the system or new to SUNY need to get up to speed to do their work. And we have obviously based that on how other institutions have done their training and then tailored it specifically to the circumstances at SUNY. So though we've been assembling those, we have them fairly well finalized at this point. And the goal of putting those together is to provide training on a more regular schedule. So you should see that training coming out of Shared Services on that more regular schedule in the months to come. Go ahead, Shannon. There we go. In addition, these are all that curriculum map in specific is also helping me put together the functional area training guides. They've been under development since I started back in August. And now with that map, those maps in place, I will be publishing the first of these guides in December. And I'm going to start with the training overview guide, otherwise known as the, okay, where do we start with training for ALMA and Prima V? And then search and navigation, the guide for fulfillment and the guide for analytics, both are largely done. If you want to see an example of a guide that is basically finished, though the advantage of putting them in these guides instead of any kind of handouts or manual is that we can constantly update as ALMA updates and Primo updates, check out the ALMA sets and jobs example, which the URL is there and we can put it into the chat momentarily. That training, by the way, the training overview guide will also contain the LibCal calendar as an embedded widget. So it really will be a where do I start, including what trainings are coming up that have been announced. And that's it. Any questions about training?
All right, thank you, Jennifer. Any general questions or any comments or anything else on any topic that we went over today? Feel free to unmute yourself or type in the chat. Thanks, Jeanette. Any last questions?
Hi, sorry, I can't chew as fast as I would like.
Sure.
This is Susan. I just wanted to go back to something Maggie was talking about with the semi-annual re-indexing. What was the schedule going to be for that again, please?
It's just in the December release is when they're doing it, and they just re-index how the searching.
Okay, so it'll be like December and June. That'll be the.
That would be my assumption, okay. Is that it would be the June release as well.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Going once, going twice. All right, so I will stop sharing and stop the recording, and I'll be posting the recording of this